Welcome to this week's edition of the Property Buyer and Sellers Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Hume, and I'm here to take you through the very latest news and views, hints, tips, and tricks to help you on your property journey. Well, welcome back to this week's edition of the Property Buyer and Sellers Podcast. And this week, it's a big one. This is all about the Renters Reform Act. And this is a white paper introduced first, mentioned in the Queen's speech as far back as 2019. And there are some key points that I wanted to try and flesh out for you and let you know what it means for you as a potential landlord. So some of the key points, let's go through them one by one. Number one is abolish what we call the no-fault eviction. This is the ability of landlords to serve a Section 21 notice. This is called the no-fault notice because a landlord does not have to give a reason for eviction, just has to say, actually, I would like to give you notice. And if they ask for a reason, there is no requirement in law why the landlord has to give one. And this has been a frustration for many tenants and tenants groups for a long time. But it's worth saying at this point that 92% of all tenancies in the UK are ended by tenants, not landlords, and only 8% are ended by landlords. Nonetheless, the ground goes. So there's no longer Section 21 evictions allowed, and they will be replaced by other grounds. We'll come on to that shortly. But it's a significant point, and these are the most significant changes we've seen for many years, since the 80s, in fact. So starting with number one, we then have number two, all tenancies will no longer be of a fixed term. They will be periodic. So what we currently know as assured short-hold tenancies will be assured tenancies. And what this will mean is that you will initially sign up a contract which is open-ended. And yes, this does mean the end of short-term or long-term tenancies. And it means that when you sign up with a tenant, there will be other ways to get the property back, but you certainly can't give a fixed term. Now, in reality, what this ground means for me is this won't suit all tenants or landlords. Some landlords will want a certain period of time and won't be able to get it anymore. And some tenants will want a certain period of time and won't be able to get it anymore. So I suspect that there will be lots of verbal agreements made between landlord and tenants along the lines of, well, look, I'm hoping to stay for 2 years. Does that suit you? And the landlord might say, well, actually, I'm selling in a year. Can we agree at that? And there'll be a kind of not written record, an unwritten record of what the tenant and landlord wants. But nonetheless, significant that all tenancies will no longer have a fixed term and they will be periodic. What this does for tenants, though, the other side of the coin, looking at it from a tenant point of view, is it doesn't feel like you're forever dwindling towards a date when you have to move on and remove some of the uncertainty around it. That's the whole point. And then number three, strengthen and improve the grounds for possession and proceedings. Now, this is the idea that they're going to streamline court procedures and improve the grounds. They're certainly talking about new grounds, and we'll come on to that shortly. But yeah, I'm skeptical about strengthening and improving because I'm not sure that the court systems will be any better at the end of this legislation. Time will tell. Remember, this is the Renters Reform Bill, though. It's not the Landlords Reform Bill. This is about tenants and not landlords. Minimum number four, minimum standards. They're now talking about minimum standards in letting, which is nothing particularly new. And number five, the private renters ombudsman. Now, this is an overarching ombudsman that will deal with all complaints in the private rented sector. And along with this, there's a new portal which will also deal with enforcement where landlords will have to register their properties. It's the first step, I think, towards a landlord register. But what's interesting about this and where it conflicts with current standards is that we have landlord licensing throughout the UK in various boroughs. And what I see happening next is that the landlord licensing schemes will have to end in order that there's one overarching scheme. You can't surely, he said, have two schemes where you're complying with one locally and then one nationally. I think they'll be merged so that we have one ending up with a landlord license. That's where I think that will go. The next one is pets allowed as standard. Now, this is allowing tenants to have pets without argument from the landlord. The landlord can no longer exclude tenants on the basis that they have pets. But if you're, we believe that the interpretation will be, and of course, all these things, this is a white paper, it's yet to go through Parliament. There will be changes and some of it will need to be tested through the courts. But our belief is that if you have a head lease which says there are no pets, then that's out of your control and therefore you can't allow pets in those circumstances. If you do allow pets, there will be a provision that the tenants have to insure those pets so that the damage is limited. Now, they're going to also be looking at doubling the notice for rent increases. At the moment, you have to give 1 month's notice for tenants if you want to increase the rent, and that is doubling to 2 months. And then there's going to be an outlaw on the ban for benefit, outright benefit tenant bans. So you're no longer allowed to say, I don't want tenants that are on benefits. You must look at all applications equally. Now, let's get into the detail of what this will mean for landlords. Well, the first thing is, remember, it is the renters reform bill, not the tenants reform bill. Does it push tenants in a different direction to landlords? Well, look, the reality is there's no supply of property. Rents are increasing rapidly. And this is how the government see a redress of the balance. Frankly, the better redress would be to address supply. And that's one thing that's not addressed in this bill whatsoever. So there is no provision for incentivizing the private landlord to take on more property, as opposed to penalizing them, as has been done through the last few parliament sessions and through the last few budgets. So in many respects, that's a shame, because I believe the private landlord does have a bigger part to play, and the government will recognize this at some point, because they don't have the private provision. And the talk of selling off remaining council houses, frankly, is laughable given what happened in the Thatcher years when we sold off the council houses and then didn't use the money to further invest in more social housing. We desperately need social housing. And the idea that the private sector will take this up with the build to rent schemes is frankly not going to happen. There's just not the volume there. Without the huge build that would be needed to restore the rental sector to where it needs to be for the council to be able to provide accommodation, I'm afraid the sector will rely on the private landlord. And that means for many of us that these rules will apply. And the question will be whether landlords feel that these rules tip them over the edge. Many landlords are sitting on paper profits that are quite vast and are thinking, is this the time to leave the sector? More regulation, all going the tenant's way, it appears. But I have to say, having read the document through now, I do feel that it's more balanced than I expected. It's not all slanted towards the tenant, although it is about tenants and protecting tenants' rights. It's not half as bad as it could have been. And actually, when you read through it, I think that there are still strong grounds and strong reasons to be a landlord. But no doubt, there is no doubt in my mind that this will make some landlords sell up, and in doing so will further exacerbate the housing crisis. So I do think that the one thing that the government haven't addressed here and should have addressed is how we can increase supply. And one of the ways to do that, instead of penalising landlords, would actually be the reverse, to incentivise landlords to invest more in the private housing sector so that tenants have somewhere to go, because it's gone so far the other way now that rents are increasing so rapidly, it's ridiculous. So number one, section 21, it's being abolished. There will be other grounds which replace it. But as I said before, there's no reason to panic on the one hand, because there are grounds to get the property back, and we'll come on to those in a minute. But bear in mind, 92% of tenancies are ended by tenants, not landlords. Now, the main change is the reason why you want the property back will be required. Now, this will involve a couple of new grounds, which means that one of the grounds that you'll be able to regain possession on is that you wish to reoccupy the property for yourself or your family. There'll be another ground, which will be that you wish to sell the property, and either of those grounds will be mandatory, and they'll replace Section 21. Now, quite how they'll police the fact that many people, at the moment, Section 21 is often used for other reasons than wanting the property back. Although the landlord may say they want the property back, it may be that the tenant is abusing their tenancy in one way or another, such as with unsociable behaviour, disruptive behaviour. And those grounds are discretionary, and no landlord wants to go to court on a discretionary ground, because it's likely that the judge will find in favour of the tenant, because tenants will never evict people lightly. And a discretionary ground means that you've got a 50-50 chance at best, probably 90-10 in favour of the tenant, in fact, that the tenant will win on a discretionary ground. And if they do, you're back at square one, having invested a lot of money. So from that point of view, the landlords have always used Section 21, although they're not giving a reason for other reasons than they just want the property back. Of course, there's always a reason. And most of the reason it is because the tenants have proved unreliable in one sense or another. There are some landlords that have used it for more ruthless reasons, but the vast majority of landlords, as you can see from the statistics, are doing it for other reasons. And those reasons tend to be things like unsociable behaviour, irregular rent payments, the tenants causing other issues, Most landlords want a quiet life. You know, they just want the money to come in their account and they want to look after their tenants. And most tenants are satisfied with their accommodation. This will strengthen tenants' rights, and there's nothing wrong in that. The small minority of poor landlords are forcing this legislation in many respects. So the rent arrears, they're still there. We'll still be able to get the property back from rent arrears point of view. The reason why you want to get your property back, that will be the main change there. Student lets, well, this doesn't really work for student lets, does it, this legislation? Because there's nothing in there for short-term rentals. So from that point of view, it really doesn't work and will cause problems for the student let market. Hopefully that will be dealt with when it comes through the Commons, but I do think that's a real problem. Now, PETS, the rental insurance policy, we'll have to see how that is brought about. But the idea that if you do rent to a tenant with PETS, there will have to be a situation where they're insured and they will have to pay for that insurance. But the periodic change, meaning that you have to give 2 months notice either side on tenancies, is the big change, of course. And it does mean that at the moment, where most tenancies are a minimum of 6 months, there is a risk for landlords that tenants could move in and use this for short-term accommodation. It's highly unlikely, though, because most tenants want long-term accommodation. Now, landlords will, in my view, can retain control of the property overall. And from the start date, all tenancies will be periodic. And the new model tenancy will be fixed-term contract. And, you know, you will not be able to enforce a term of contract. So that's quite interesting. And the student lets, well, no doubt there'll be some problems there, but it'd be interesting to see how that resolves itself. As far as the other grounds are concerned, being strengthening the grounds for possession, I'm very skeptical about this. I don't think the grounds for possession are going to be brought about. There are talk about an independent arbitration situation where landlords and tenants will go through arbitration. My fear with this one is that the courts may use this as a delaying tactic to make landlords say, look, we've gone through arbitration and we can't agree. So that could be a delaying tactic and could extend tenants' stay in a property where they no longer really should be there. So it'd be interesting to see how that pans out. But the majority of tenancies, in my view, will be, in terms of tenancy, will be brought about by discussion, although that won't provide an end date and won't provide certainty actually for either side. So it does represent an opportunity for us letting agents to educate, as does all major reform. And so in many respects, as long as we're on top of this legislation, we should be able to help our landlords navigate through it. And that's the really important thing, is being able to show people the way through it. It's nowhere near as scary as some would have you believe. So as far as the periodic tenancies concerned, I think that that is something that will help tenants to feel more secure in their homes, and that most landlords don't require their properties back in the medium term anyway, because most landlords are in it for the long term. The only time they use Section 21 is when they want their properties back because they're not happy with the tenants, often because the tenants have been misbehaving in ways that would trigger a discretionary ground, and those discretionary grounds are just not reliable enough, and so they've used Section 21 instead. Now, will they now use the new grounds that they want their property back for their own occupation and then suddenly decide not to occupy the property and re-rent it? Well, time will tell. And similarly, will they say their family want to occupy it and then re-rent it? There may be a ban on renting it for a period of time if you use that ground. It may be that the government choose to say, well, you can't rent it for 3 months if you've evicted the tenant on those grounds. So that will be an interesting one to see. But I think that there will probably be some workarounds. There usually are. It depends on how the courts interpret these things, and only time will tell on that one. But of course, you can also get the property back if you wish to sell it. And in some respects, I'm not sure that's a good thing, because if that's the easiest way to get the property back, you are offering the landlord the exit route, especially if you're not letting them re-rent the property. You could find yourself in a situation where you've evicted the tenant because you've said that you want to sell the property, you've changed your mind, and then you realize that you can't rent it for 3 months. We don't yet know, by the way, exactly how this is going to be enforced. So I'm just really working out what the angles might be here. And then from there, it might well be that because you can't rent it for a period of time, you choose to sell it instead. And this could trigger an exodus from the market. And that's my fear, is that we end up with more landlords leaving the market. But I have to say, having read through the legislation, I think that it's reasonably balanced, and there's nothing great in there for landlords to fear. There could be a few points that cost landlords a bit more money here and there, particularly these new portals and new ombudsman. There's no doubt going to be costs associated with that. But then there are costs now for local landlord licensing schemes. And what I hope is that the new scheme will override local landlord licensing, which frankly, from what I can see, is nothing more than a way of local authorities achieving revenue. And we've seen no particular benefits in our area that I know of from having the licensing scheme. Of course, here in Croydon, we did have one and it's been refused now, so we don't have one anymore. But it'll be interesting to see how the new portal and the new ombudsman integrates into the current workings of landlord and tenant law. We'll certainly keep you updated as things develop. Of course, now we've got the new prime minister is the big headline that will delay things, in my view. Does this mean that this will go away? No. I think the Renters Reform Act is coming, and it's for us to be on top of it so that we can advise our landlords of the salient points that help them to gain possession when they want possession, get rent increases when they need them, and advise them around the legislation. But from what we've seen so far, nowhere near as bad as some would have you believe. So breathe, take a deep breath. It will be okay. You will be able to get your property back for relevant reasons. And if your tenant is in arrears, certainly now you will be able to get your property back in the same way, more or less, as you have done in the past. Section 21 will go and fixed term tenancies will go. Be interesting to see how it all manifests itself when it goes through the Houses of Parliament. And we will keep you advised as the legislation develops. I hope that's been helpful to you. In terms of the property market, generally at the moment, what we're finding is summertime, a slight quietening down in the market. And we expect that as family, we're a family area. And as families go on holiday, of course, it tends to quieten down, especially as the children break up for school and people go away to enjoy their summer vacation. This year is a slightly strange one, of course, because we've got so many other things going on. We've got the recession looming, of course, the fuel crisis. And of course, that's going to be a nightmare this year with fuel bills rising as the winter approaches, as it gets cold. And you know, I was thinking you could actually imagine a situation where people need a communal space to be together in order to afford heating. And of course, that's exactly the opposite of what we need with the pandemic and coronavirus. So I do see a big conflict there. And what I think it will mean is people will choose not to heat their homes. And it's a very sad time when people are choosing to heat or eat. But what we've also seen during this period is the validity of property as an asset class of investment. Right the way through the pandemic, it's been reliable. Rents have continued to come in for the vast majority of landlords. And if we look at what's happened to the stock market and how it's fallen off a cliff, while rents have gone the other way and risen and property values have risen, you can see why property is such an attractive form of investment, especially for those looking for a passive income. Where you've got a quality managing agent, there's no reason why you can't sit back and let your professional managing agent do the work for you. And that's what we're here to do for you. So I hope that's been helpful for you. Do send me an email if you have any questions on this, because it's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot to take on. We will be covering it in more detail. We'll probably have a few special guests on to try and navigate our way through all of this legislation as it becomes relevant to you, the private landlord. But we'll be back next week with another edition. Sorry for the delay, by the way, in coming back. We have had a few issues with coronavirus here, and it's led to a bit of a problem with the voice. And now we're back and on screen. So you'll be hearing from us next week with another edition. So until then, stay safe, look after your family and yourselves, and we'll see you or speak to you next week. Take care. Thank you so much for joining us on yet another edition of the Property Buyer and Sellers Podcast. You can find out more at our website, jamesalexander.com. You can email me directly, ken@jamesalexander.com. We are estate agents and we can give you hints, tips, tricks and advice wherever you're buying, selling, moving to or from. Thanks to Ben Sounds for the intro and outro today, and thanks to Jack Bowles for production.